Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is May the 3rd, and we are in Bamidbar, we're in Parshas Korach. We are in the Stone Chumash on page 826, and we're up to Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, in Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17. We just had the dramatic destruction of Korach and all of his followers. Korach was swallowed up, so was Dathan and Aviram, and the 250 men, a fire came out from Hashem, as the last Pasuk in the previous chapter read, and consumed them, those who had offered the Ketoras. There is a difference of opinion in the Gemara whether Korach only was swallowed up, or was he also burned. There is one opinion in the Gemara that says that Korach actually had both punishments, that he was both burned by the fire and also swallowed by the ground. That's just a point of interest, that Korach may have had both punishments. At any rate, these 250 men were consumed by fire. Now, the Gemara has also a difference of opinion about exactly what this fire did to them. We know that the rule is that for capital punishment, one of the forms of capital punishment is sreifa. Sreifa means burning. That capital punishment is administered in two different types of crimes. And we know that it does not mean to literally burn somebody in fire, but rather it means that a piece of lead is heated up till it's super hot, and then it is poured down the person's throat, and they are killed that way. It sounds painful. All death is painful. However, it is actually far better than burning someone alive. And one of the main points that's important to note is that the body is preserved. There is a body that can go through a typical tahara and be buried properly. So that is, we know that that's the case with the way that we administer that type of capital punishment. The Gemara wants to know, how do we know this? How do we know that sreifa, that the capital punishment of burning, is done through burning the inside of the body rather than burning the outside of the body? And one of the opinions is that the source is here. The source is from these 250 men, because these 250 men was guf kayam. Their bodies were preserved. They were not burned up. The Gemara says, how do you know that? So according to this opinion, the way you know that is because of a verse, we haven't read it actually, it's going to be in this chapter, we're going to see a phrase from which this opinion is going to derive that their bodies were not burned, but only their neshamos were burned. However, it is a machlokas. There are two opinions. So we will see that, in fact, you can read this two different ways. And one of the ways to read it will be that the bodies were preserved. So, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1 on page 826. Vayidaver Hashem el Moshe leimor. Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, Emor el Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Speak to Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen. Now, he does not say this to Aaron, but rather say this to Elazar, the son of Aaron, the Kohen. V'yareimes ha-machtos mi-bein ha-sreifa. He should lift up the fire pans from amongst that which was burned. These 250 men were each holding a fire pan that they had burned incense in. So take those fire pans from within those who were burned. V'es ha-esh zrehala. The fire you should throw away. You should be translated as the fire, throw away. So that means that the coals should be spilled out onto the ground. Kikadeshu, because these fire pans are sanctified. They have become clay shares. Clay shares means utensils of serving in the Beis HaMikdash, or in this case, the Mishkan. Even though these men did an Avera and they were killed, nevertheless, they were killed in the service of Hashem in the Mishkan. And therefore, the items that they used to burn the Ketores are considered to be clay shares. They're considered to be sanctified, and therefore they cannot just be discarded. They must be used in a sanctified way or discarded in a sanctified way. So he tells Moshe to tell Elazar to collect those fire pans. Pasuk 3. The fire pans of those who sinned with their souls. Now, what does sinned with their souls mean? So, the simple meaning is they sinned it with a capital crime. With their souls means they gave up their souls when they sinned. That's a capital crime. However, one opinion reads this as they sinned with their souls, that their souls were destroyed because of their sin, but not their bodies, only their souls. And that would be the opinion that would say that their bodies were not destroyed by the fire, but only their souls were destroyed by the fire. The fire entered the inside of their bodies and killed them on the inside. Be that as it may, the pasuk here says that the fire pans of those who sinned with their souls. What should Elazar do with them? V'asu osam, they should make them rikuei pachim tzipoi lamizbeach. So that's translated as hammered out sheets as a plating for the altar. In other words, you take these pans, they were made of metal, they were made of copper, as we will see, and hammer them out into flat sheets of metal, and then use that as a plating for the copper mizbeach. The Mizbeach, the altar, meaning the big one, the one that was outside of the Mishkan, which is wood plated with copper. This should be another plating of copper over this Mizbeach. Ki krivum lifnei Hashem, because they brought these pans before Hashem, vayikdashu, and they became sanctified. Viyu laos lifnei Yisrael, and there will be a sign for the Bnei Yisrael. These copper pans that are now going to be banged into into sheets and plated over the altar, over the Mizbeach, will now act as a sign for the Bnei Yisrael. So we'll see a sign for what in a minute. Vayikach Elazar HaKohen. Elazar HaKohen took Es Machtos HaNechoshes, the copper fire pans, Asher Hikrivu Hasarufim, that those who were burned up, that they had brought them, that they had brought them before Hashem. Vayirak tzipui lamizbeach, and they plated them around the mizbeach. And I'm looking how they translate that word. Yeah, they hammered them out as a covering for the mizbeach. So they hammered these copper pans into a covering for the Mizbeach, as Hashem said. Why? Zikaron lifnei Yisrael, they are a remembrance for the Jewish people. Lemana shali krav ish zar, in order that no foreign man get close. What do you mean foreign? Ashalomi zera Aaron, who, that he is not from the seed of Aaron, meaning he's not a Kohen. Laktir ketores lifnei Hashem, to offer ketores before Hashem. That this should be a remembrance, that people should not do this. V'lo yech Korach v'cha'ad aso, there should be no longer be like Korach, nor like his entourage, like his people. Kasher diber Hashem, like Hashem spoke, b'yad Moshe, and the hand of Moshe, lo, to him, that there should not be anybody to usurp Aaron's position. So, here we have a remembrance, a zikaron. The Jews should see this plating around the altar, and when they see it, that should remind them this is what happens to those who try to usurp the kahuna, who try to push Aaron out of being the Kohen Gadol and try to take over themselves. It is fatal. They were burned up, and this, all that remained of them were these pans that were then hammered out and placed around the altar. So it's a very powerful message to people to be careful not to try to usurp the kahuna, to usurp the priesthood from Aaron and his children. Now, there are a few points to make over here. Number one, Moshe tells this to Elazar. Hashem tells Moshe to tell this to Elazar, not to Aaron. Why not directly to Aaron? Why have Elazar be the one to take the pans and put them around the altar? Why not Aaron? Now, the Elazar is going to eventually succeed Aaron as the Kohen Gadol. But at this point, Aaron is still very much the Kohen Gadol. Elazar has not succeeded him yet. Aaron has many years to live still. At this point, there has not been a decree yet about Moshe and Aaron not going into the land of Israel. So at this point, Aaron would still be going in. So why Elazar and not Aaron to take the pans and make them a zikaron? So it could be that it's because Aaron was part of this whole machlokas that just took place. We know the famous story in the Gemara in Brachos, where Rabban Gamliel, who was the Nasi, who was the leader of the Jewish people, where he got into a machlokas, a debate with Rabbi Yehoshua. And the nature of that machlokas was such that the other Talmidei Chachamim decided that Rabban Gamliel needed to be replaced as the Nasi, and he was replaced. It was only a temporary replacement, but it was a replacement. And when they decided to replace him, the question was, with whom should they replace him? Who should take over? And this, they came up with several different names as possibilities. One of the people that was suggested to replace him was the person he had been arguing with, who was Rabbi Yehoshua. But he was immediately disqualified. And the reason he was disqualified is because he was party to the machlokas. That would be like pouring salt in the wound. Since the reason why Rabbi Gamliel was displaced was because of this machlokas, to take the one with whom he was arguing and put him in his place, that would just be very, very not nice. So it could be that that's what's going on here as well, that Aaron can't be the one to gather the fire pans and make them as an os, as a sign, since Aaron is the one that they were rebelling against, and the sign is to preserve and protect the authenticity and the right, the claim to kahuna of Aaron himself. Now again, at this point, Elazar, although he will eventually be the successor, but at this point, there's no hint of succession. Aaron is very much fully engaged in being the Kohen Gadol. He has many years of life ahead of him. And so it could be that's why Elazar was the one, Hashem said, to replace the fire pans, to take the fire pans and put them around the Mizbech rather than Aaron. 250 men were destroyed. We mentioned last time there is a machlokas in the Gemara, a discussion, whether Korach and his group have lost their portion in the world to come. Whether they have or have not, that's debated, and that's, we'll leave that as a debate. But here the fact is that these 250 men rebelled, and the fire pans that they used were taken and put around the Mizbeach to prevent this from happening again in the future. Now, on the one hand, that is a little bit of an embarrassment, that which they sinned with, rather than being thrown away and buried and removed from people's consciousness, instead they remain fully visible, in fact, so visible that people should see these pans, so that they will be reminded not to start up with Moshe and with Aaron again. So that's pretty embarrassing. On the other hand, if they are, the fire pans that comes from these men are the way to prevent this from happening again, then these men are at least having the merit of preventing the same thing from happening. So although they have been destroyed, and they definitely sinned, but it could be that there is an ongoing kapara, an ongoing atonement for these men, that what their pans should remind the Jewish people to stay away from trying to usurp Aaron and to question Moshe Rabbeinu. There is a Gemara which we've mentioned before, but we're going to mention it again because this is the source for it. And that is that at the very end of this paragraph it says that there will no longer be like Korach nor like his nation. Korach nor his assembly. Like Hashem spoke to Moshe, Bi'ad Moshe lo, to him. We learned that when we learned Sefer Melachim, we learned that the king Uzziyahu was a tzaddik, but at one point he decided to act like a kohen. He decided to do the avoda himself. He reasoned that it would be a bigger cover for Hashem if the king himself would do the avoda. Now that was a mistake, and it was a mistake. It wasn't just a mistake, as in like it wasn't just a mistake like something he couldn't have prevented. It was a mistake born out of a bad midah. But he was a tzaddik. He was a good person, but he made this mistake. After he made the mistake, he did tshuva, and for the rest of his life, he did tshuva for this avera. But it was an avera. So the Gemara tells us that the Sefer Yeshaya, the book of Yeshaya, which begins with the words Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amotz, the vision of Yeshayahu ben Amotz, even though that's the first chapter, that is not the first nevuah, that's not the first prophecy of Yeshayahu. The first prophecy of Yeshayahu is in the sixth chapter of Yeshaya, and we read it as the Haftarah for Parashas Yisro, and that begins Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uzziyahu, in the year of the death of the king Uzziyahu. And that is where Yeshayahu sees Maisa Merkava, where he sees the chariot of Hashem. There you have the famous pasuk where Yeshaya sees the malachim, and the angels say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Melo Chol Haaretz Kivado. That verse, that pasuk that we quote every morning in the brachos before Shema. The Chazal tell us when it says Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uzziyahu, the year of the death of Uzziyahu, it does not mean the year he died. It means the year that he did this avera of trying to act like a kohen, and there was a tremendous earthquake. There was a huge earthquake in Eretz Yisrael, the Ra'ash, the famous earthquake in Eretz Yisrael, and it says Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uzziyahu, the year of the death of the king Uzziyahu, because he got Saras. And we know that Saras is compared to someone who has died. So Chazal tell us, when Uzziyahu tried to take the kahuna for himself, and he shouldn't because he was from the tribe of Yehuda as the king, not from Levi, So the Gemara tells us the ground wanted to swallow him up. Because the ground said, what happened to Korach when he tried to usurp the kahuna? He got swallowed up. Then the appropriate thing to do to someone who tries to usurp the kahuna is swallow him up. So there was a huge earthquake so the ground would be able to swallow up the Uzziyahu. The Gemara tells us, fire tried to consume Uzziyahu because the fire reasoned, just as the 250 men in Korach's day that tried to usurp the kahuna, they were destroyed by fire. So the fire reasoned, the fire should also destroy Uzziyahu. So there was the ground that tried to open up and swallow Uzziyahu, that was the earthquake. There was a major fire that broke out that tried to consume Uzziyahu, but neither one were permitted. The ground was not permitted to swallow up, the fire was not permitted to consume him, but rather he got Sara'as. So Chazal tell us, why did he get Sara'as? Because of this pasuk over here that we just read. Because the pasuk says, V'lo yiyach Korach v'cha'adaso. There will no longer be like Korach, which means, from here on in, anybody who tries to usurp the kahuna will not be like Korach. No one will be swallowed up by the ground. V'cha'adaso. There will no longer be anybody like the assembly of Korach. The assembly of Korach are the 250 men. When they tried to usurp the kahuna, they were consumed by fire. That will not happen anymore either. If someone tries to usurp the kahuna, they will not be swallowed up in the ground. They will not be consumed by fire. So what will happen to them? Kasha Dibar Hashem biyad Moshe lo, like Hashem spoke in the hand of Moshe to him. The hand of Moshe simply means that at the hands of Moshe spoke to him. It's an idiom. However, Chazal tell us, according to this explanation, that just as the hand of Moshe, when Hashem told him at the burning bush, stick your hand in your cloak and take it out, and his hand was white with saras, so that is a remez, that's a hint to what happens to someone who tries to usurp the kahuna. Someone tries to usurp the kahuna, they don't, from here on in, after Korach, they will no longer be consumed by, they won't be swallowed by the ground, they will not be consumed by fire, but rather they will get saras. So Uzziyahu got saras for attempting to take over the kahuna. If you'll hold the place here on page 828 in Parashas Korach and skip ahead just a few pages to Parashas Pinchas. In Parashas Pinchas, the Jews are being counted, and as they're being counted, some of the history of what went on is also being told. So on page 878. On page 878, the tribe of Reuven is being counted. This is Perek Chava, chapter 26. And we'll start with Pasuk Tes, verse 9. As it lists the families of Reuven, it says, Uvnei Eliav, the sons of Eliav were Nemuel, Vidasan, Vaviram. They were Numuel, Dasan, and Aviram. Who are Dasan and Aviram? Who Dasan Vaviram Kirei Ha'idah? These are Dasan and Aviram who were of the important people of the congregation. Asher Hitzua Moshe Ve'Aharon Be'Alas Korach Be'Hatosam Al Hashem. That they contended, that's the word they use here, against Moshe and Aharon among the assembly of Korach, when they contended against Hashem. Vativtach haaretz espia, the ground opened its mouth. Vativlahu sam ves Korach b'mos ha'idah, and it swallowed them and Korach when the assembly were killed. Ba'achol ha'ish es chamishim masayim ish v'yulin es, when the fire consumed the 250 men, that they now became a sign for everybody else. So, Chazal tell us, the language here is, at the end of Pasuk, test end of 9, it says, Behatzosam al Hashem, when they contended against Hashem. Did they contend against Hashem? Who do they contend against? They contended against Aaron. They contended against Moshe. They didn't contend against Hashem. So Chazal tells us from here, you learn that someone who starts up with Moshe and with Aaron, it is like they are starting up with Hashem himself. Hashem responds as if the person were trying to usurp Hashem himself. Back on 8:28, Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Vayilonu kolanas b'nei yisomi macharas al Moshe v'al Aaron lemar. And the entire congregation of the Jewish people, the next day, they complained against Moshe and against Aaron, saying, Atem hamitem es am Hashem. You killed the nation of Hashem. This is your fault that these people are dead. Now, that doesn't seem fair at all. After all, they didn't do anything wrong. They were attacked by Korach, by his assembly. They came and tried to usurp Moshe and Aaron. How can you say that Moshe and Aaron are to blame over here? That's what the Jews were saying, that they killed the nation of Hashem. So most of the Mefarshim learn over here, they say that the people were coming to say to Moshe and to Aaron, it's your fault because you gave out, you not gave out, because you told them to bring Ketores. It's your fault because you told the 250 men to bring Ketores. Ketores is what killed them. They brought the Ketores. They were saying, the Jews were saying to Moshe and to Aaron, you knew the Ketores was dangerous. After all, how did Aaron's sons, Nadav and Avihu, how did they get killed? They got killed because they offered Ketores when they weren't supposed to. So they got killed through Ketores. How can you tell them, how could you have told them to offer Ketores? You were essentially signing their death warrant by suggesting that they bring Ketores. Therefore, it is their fault that Ketores killed them. It's your fault that you caused them to be killed through offering the Ketores. So therefore, they accuse Moshe and Aaron of having killed these people. So the Pasuk then says, Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Vayehi b'kohel ha'idah al Moshe v'al Aaron. It was when the congregation gathered up against Moshe and against Aaron. Vayifnu al Moy, they turned towards the Mishkan. V'inei chiso ha'anon, and behold, the cloud had covered it up, which was a sign that Hashem was about to appear. Vayiro kvod Hashem, and the honor of Hashem appeared. Vayavo Moshe v'aron al pnei ohel moed, and Moshe and Aaron came before the ohel moed. So we are about to have the second tragedy of Parshas Korach. We've already had the tragedy of the destruction of Korach and Dathan and Aviram and their families and the 250 men. Now we're about to have our next calamity, and it is because the Jews are complaining against Moshe and against Aaron, claiming that Moshe and Aaron have destroyed the Jewish people because they're the ones who suggested that Ketores be brought. So therefore, the next day, the Jews gather around Moshe and Aaron. And they say, you're at fault, you killed the Jewish people. Never mind that the 250 men were rebelling against Aaron, but at the end of the day, Moshe and Aaron are the ones who suggested to bring the Ketores, therefore it is their fault that these 250 men have died. Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lema, Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, this next pasuk is almost identical to what we had back on page 8:24 and Pasuk Chaf, as we're about to see, a very, very similar commandment. Hashem speaks to Moshe saying, Pasuk Yud on page 8:28, Hey Romu mitoch ha'eda hazos, separate yourselves from within this congregation. V'achaleh osam keraga, I'll destroy them in a moment. V'yiplu apnehem, they fell on their faces. Now, if you look back on 8:24, we have a similar phrase. He badlu mitoch ha'eda hazos, separate yourselves. Pasuk Chafal, verse 21. Separate yourselves from amongst this congregation. And I'll destroy them in a moment. And then it says Moshe davened for us. They fell on their faces. And they said, Hashem, the one who is the God of all spirits of all men, should one man sin, and you're going to destroy everybody? Moshe and Aaron there davened to stop the destruction. But here, they do not do that. Here Hashem says, I will destroy them all. They fell on their faces, but they do not daven that one person sinned, you're going to destroy everybody. So it is a little bit curious how come they didn't daven. Some of Harshim, Rabbi Yoshua Lev Diskin being one of them, suggests because there's a difference in the verb that Hashem uses when he tells Moshe and Aaron to separate. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, in verse 21, it says, Hibadlu, separate yourselves, from the word Havdallah, to separate yourselves. Here, on page 828, in Pasuk Yud 10, it says, Heiromu mitochoi dohazos, lift yourselves out, extricate yourselves from within this evil group. So before it says separate yourselves, here it says lift yourselves out, like from the word truma, which means to lift up, heiromu. So Rabbi Yoshua Lev Diskin suggests that the verb here implies that that Hashem's din is already about to take place, that it's too late to daven. Since he says it in this way, it sounds like he's saying you are cut above them and you need to be away from them. Don't sit here and try to defend them, but rather you need to separate yourselves because they're about to be destroyed. So Moshe understood that the die had been cast. So he knew that in order to help the Jews, something else would have to be done. Pasuk Yudal, verse 11. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, Moshe said to Aaron, Kach es hamachta, take the fire pan. Sound familiar? We just had a bunch of fire pans. Well, take it again. V'sen aleha esh, and put upon it fire, me'al ha-mizbeach, from upon the altar. V'sim kitores, and put kitores. That sounds very similar. Put kitores on the fire pan. V'holech mehiroi al ha'idah, and take it very quickly to the congregation. V'chaper aleihem, and atone for them. Ki yatzah ha-ketzef milifnei Hashem, for the anger has come out from before Hashem. Hechel hanogef, the plague has begun. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, take the fire pan and use it for ketores, because the plague has begun and you need to stop the plague. So Chazal tells us why ketores, because it was important to show the people that ketores is not what kills people. Even though Nadav and Avihu were killed with ketores, and the 250 men were killed with ketores, ketores is not the killer, it is the sin that is the killer. And therefore, here we're going to have the ketores, which is going to save the Jewish people. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim to get the Luchos, to get the commandments, so various malachim, the angels, did not want Hashem to give the Torah to man. They said, Mali Yulud Isha Beinenu, what is this that there's someone born from flesh and blood, born from a woman, doing here among us? He doesn't belong here. So Hashem says he's here to get the Torah. And they said, you can't give him the Torah. This has been your special book for so many years. So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to answer those angels. So Moshe Rabbeinu does, and he tells them various things. He says to them, do you have parents that you could do kibud avaim? And questions like that. How can you keep Shabbos? How can you not steal? Etc. So after that was over, the malachim, the angels, they were willing to concede that the Torah belongs in the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara says that the angels who had previously wanted to prevent Moshe Rabbeinu from getting the Torah, gave him presents. They now gave him gifts to show that they had no hard feelings. And the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, also gave Moshe Rabbeinu a gift. The Gemara says, what gift did the Malach HaMoves give Moshe Rabbeinu? He told him that the Ketores is an Otzer HaMageifa. He didn't give him anything physical. He gave him a piece of information. And he told him, you should know that the Ketores is an Otzer HaMageifa. It holds back a plague. Even though Ketores can be fatal if it's misused, but it can also be very powerful to stop me, says the Malach HaMoves, to stop the killer, to stop the plague from hurting the people. So the Gemara says that, the Pasuk says, Moshe told Aaron to take the fire pan and the Ketores and bring it to within the people and atone for them. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, Vayikach Aaron kasher diber Moshe. Aaron took what Moshe said. Vayaratz el tocha kahal. He ran to within the congregation. Vihineh hechil hanegef ba'am. And behold, the plague had already begun with the nation. Vayitenes haketores. He offered the ketores. He poured the ketores on the fire pan. Vayechaper al ha'am. And he achieved atonement for the nation by bringing the Ketores. So the plague stopped. Vayamod bein ha-meisim uvein ha-chayim. Aaron stood between those who had died and those who were still alive. Vateyatzar ha-mayefa, and the plague stopped. It was done. He prevented the rest of the plague from going on. Vayu ha-meisim ba-mayefa, and it was those who died in the plague. 14,700 people were killed in the plague. Milvan ha-meisim al-dvar Korach, besides, not including those who were killed at the hands of Korach. Vayashav Aaron o-Moshe al-Pesach o-Moed, and Aaron returned to Moshe to the opening of the Mishkan, ve'amagefa ne'etzara, and the plague had stopped. Why does it say the plague stopped two times? It says it in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. He stood between the live people and the dead people, and the plague stopped. And then in Pasuk Tezvah, verse 15, it says he returned to Moshe to the Pesach HaMoed, and the plague had stopped. So Chazal tell us, Rashi brings it over here, that Aaron ran into the assembly where the Malach HaMoves, where the angel of death was killing people with the plague. Now most people wouldn't be able to see the Malach HaMoves. The Gemara says right before death a person might see the Malach HaMoves, but they don't live to talk about it. Certainly to see the Malach HaMoves, this angel of death, when there was no, where it wasn't attacking the person who's seeing him, that nobody gets to see the Malach HaMoves. Aaron could see the Malach HaMoves. Not only that, Aaron grabbed the Malach HaMoves and said, stop right there, no further, no more killing. He grabbed the Malach HaMoves and stopped the angel, the power of Aaron HaKohen. The angel said to Aaron, I have been sent, I'm here to kill the people. So Aaron said, Moshe sent me to stop you. The Malach HaMoves said, but Hashem sent me to kill the people. And if it's Hashem versus Moshe, Moshe sent you to stop me, but Hashem sent me to kill the people. I think Hashem trumps Moshe Rabbeinu. So Aaron said back to the Malach HaMoves that Moshe never does anything without getting word from Hashem. So if Moshe sent me, Hashem must have told him to send me. And therefore, we now have a contradiction. When Hashem said, Hashem told you to kill, but Hashem told Moshe to send me to stop you. So I'm not letting you go. And let's go back to the Mishkan. Aaron says to the Malach HaMoves, come with me. We'll go to the Mishkan. And there I know that Moshe is talking to Hashem. And we'll find out the truth. And they went back. And they found out that, yes, Hashem had sent the Malach HaMoves, but then he also told Moshe to send Aaron to stop the Malach HaMoves. Hashem wanted there to be a plague, but he wanted it stopped, and that is what happened. It was stopped. And And that's why it says Vamagefana et Sara. That's why it says then the plague stopped. It says it the second time in Pasuk Tesvav. In verse 15, they went back to the entrance of the Mishkan and the plague had stopped, which means it continued to stay stopped. Because when it stopped the first time, it's because there was an impasse. There was this powerful Malach being held by the more powerful Aaron. But that couldn't go on forever. Then they went to the entrance of the Al-Moed, and there it was solidified. No more the plague is over, that Aaron is correct, we're going to stop this plague. Pasuk Yudal, verse 14, says that the amount of people who were killed in the plague were 14,700, not including those who were killed from Korach and his assembly. That's a funny thing to say. Why doesn't it say 14,700, not including those who were killed in the plague of darkness in Egypt? I mean, what does one thing do with the other? Not including those who were killed with Korach and his assembly. That was a different story. So you see that it wasn't a different story. That this story is directly connected to the previous story of Korach and his assembly. Now we know how it's connected because we already read before that when the 250 men were killed, the people complained. They said to Moshe and Aaron, you killed them because you told them to bring Ketores. So then this plague began and 14,700 additional people were killed. But more than that, you also see from here that Korach is being blamed for this as well, because of the sequence of events that leads to the 250 men being killed also eventually leads to all of these people being killed, 14,700 people in the tribe of Reuven, 14,700 people in this plague that takes place, that is a direct result of what happened with the story of Korach. So ultimately, Korach is being blamed for the whole thing, not just for the death of the 250 men, not just for his own death, the death of Nadab and Avihu, but also for these 14,700 additional people who were killed as well. The Malach HaMoves himself gave Moshe Rabbeinu the formula to stop him. He gave him the formula that the Ketores stops Magepha, stops a plague. Now, the Malach HaMoves has a job. He's an angel. He has a job. His job is to kill people who are supposed to get killed. That's his job. Sometimes that means he has to bring a plague. That's his job. Ketores stops a plague. What is he doing giving away the trade secret to Moshe Rabbeinu and telling him that if you want to know how to stop me, by the way, Ketores does that? So hasn't he just undermined himself? His job is to kill people. But now he's undermined. So more than that, we know, as we've said many, many, many times, Malachim angels do not have free will. They are pre-programmed. Hashem programs them to do whatever they do. That means the Malach HaMoves was programmed to give Moshe Rabbeinu the formula to stop a plague. Why? So when does the Malach HaMoves give it to Moshe Rabbeinu? He gives it to him when Moshe Rabbeinu gets the Torah and proves that the Torah belongs with man, not with the angels. When the Torah is able to be brought down to this world, that's what triggers the Malach HaMoves to give Moshe Rabbeinu the formula how to stop a plague. We see from here that the giving of the Torah itself is a method of stopping plagues. It is the trigger through which plagues get stopped. The Gemara tells us, based on the pasuk in Chavakuk, Lefanav Yelech Dover, that when Hashem was ready to give the Torah, He sent the Malach HaMoves to make a plague around the world. He kept the Malach HaMoves busy to keep him away from the proceedings of Matan Torah. So he sent him to go bring plagues and kill people when the Torah was being given to the Jewish people. Here, the Malach HaMoves gives Moshe Rabbeinu the antidote to plagues. It seems that the Torah itself, the giving of the Torah, us having the Torah, is a reason why the plague, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the formula to stop the plague. We are going to end a little bit early this evening. I want to just tell you that what we're going to start with next time, we're going to develop this idea of the Malach HaMavis giving the Ketores, the formula of the Ketores to Moshe Rabbeinu to stop a plague, that associated with Matan Torah and the plague that went on during Matan Torah against the nations of the world. Basically, what that means is, what's the function of a plague? Why does it happen? And why the Ketores should be the antidote to a plague? Why should that be? That's something which we will discuss, please God, next time, along with a little bit of a broader understanding of why the Malach HaMavis gave Moshe Rabbeinu the formula to stop him, to stop the plague. And in addition, we also are going to speak more about the connection between the death of these 14,700 people and the deaths of Korach and Dathan and Aviram and the 250 men. Okay, thank you for joining, and Mirza Hashem will continue next week.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.